Good day. My name is Jadef Chiba, and I'd like to welcome you to another Tech Central TCS Plus podcast. Earlier this year, Vodacom Business launched its extraordinary business advisory board, bringing together respected business leaders and technology experts to provide strategic guidance on digital transformation. The board addresses critical business challenges, including cloud adoption, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, edge computing, and SME development. As part of this initiative, Tech Central conducts podcast interviews with advisory board experts every 2 months, offering enterprise leaders actionable insights on the technologies shaping their industries. This second podcast in this series focuses on cybersecurity as a strategic business enabler, exploring how forward-thinking enterprises are transforming security from a defensive necessity into a competitive advantage. Joining me on the call today is firstly Lucanio Zahela, who is the acting executive head for cloud security from Vodacom Business. And secondly, we've got Anna Collard, who is SPV for content strategy and evangelist Know Before Africa. Welcome to you both. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Great. So our topic for today is the following: how cybersecurity can shift from being a defensive cost center to a strategic enabler of digital transformation and competitive advantage for South African enterprises. Some of the key themes we will be discussing are, firstly, shifting organizational mindset from security as a cost center to security as a business enabler. Secondly, we'll talk about practical approaches to addressing South Africa's evolving threat landscape. We'll also talk about building security frameworks that support innovation and business agility, real-world examples of security strategies that create competitive advantage, and then we'll talk about the role of security awareness and human-centric in modern enterprises. I think to get going, my first question to you is, cybersecurity has moved from the IT department to the boardroom. What's driving the shift and why does it matter? Lucanio, can we start with you on that one, please?
No, thank you again for having me today. I think cybersecurity is no longer just a technical concern. It's no longer about that IT guy in the basement working on hardware. It's now a visible, a prominent risk with real financial and reputational consequences. So executives understand that a failing to prepare for cybersecurity can result in significant losses, especially if there's customer-facing and internal systems that are compromised. But however, when approached strategically, a robust cybersecurity posture signals maturity, which informs regulators, investors, and partners that the organization takes accountability very seriously. And in this scenario, cybersecurity becomes a reputational asset and not just a cost center. So this is particularly very important when we're dealing with AI and AI deployment, by ensuring that cybersecurity measures are embedded in the early stages of any design and concept phase.
Thanks, Lucanio. Anna, your contribution to that?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I often liken the analogy of, you know, when you're building a fast car, what do you need? Like, what's the most important thing in a race car? It's having good brakes, right? So security is similar. Like, you have to have the foundation in place to make sure you're delivering, especially when we talk about AI and new emerging technology and services, and the fact that, you know, trust is sort of a commodity in this digital space. Like, consumers nowadays do have an awareness or a level of understanding that companies are dealing with the information, that we have a responsibility to protect them. And then I think thirdly, I also, and this is actually something I have to give credit to Duncan Ray, who's a CISO at one of the big retailers here in the Western Cape. And he says that often in cybersecurity, we talk about the CIA triad, confidentiality, integrity, availability, but particularly in retail and with the recent, attacks against the retail industry in the UK, a lot of board members and executive have realized that the availability component, that making sure that things work are actually one of the most important things for business owners or anyone running a business, right? Like, we are in business to stay in business. And if that gets jeopardized, that's a massive risk to resilience and continuity. So making sure things work is another really important component of your overall security program.
Okay, so if we start looking at the cyber threats themselves, what are the biggest cyber threats, security threats facing South African businesses right now?
Look, I don't think we are any other than the rest of the world in terms of, being exposed to a criminal ecosystem that is benefiting from automation, from just as much as we embrace technology and AI, they do that. And it means that the attacks, whether that's a ransomware attack, whether that's a business email compromise, whatever, phishing email, they look better. They look more professionally created. They don't have spelling errors anymore. Like, long gone are the days where you could tell someone you spot that social engineering attack because there's like grammatical errors. They all have now access to their versions of ChatGPT. I think that from a South African point of view on the continent, we are quite heavily technology dependent. We have a flourishing, financial industry. We've got digital dependency even in public sector. Yet we lack some of the preparedness compared to other countries, both from a regulatory and sort of call it, enforcement or execution side, as well as also from a budgetary point of view. That makes us more vulnerable, I'd say, even though we're faced with the same threat landscape. And what that is, if you look at Interpol, for example, they bring out an annual report, and their recent Africa threat report showed that the most frequently reported attacks to law enforcement, and this includes obviously consumer attacks, not just organizational, social engineering. So it's your online scams, investment scams, business email compromise. So a lot of this actually, attacks against the human layer, the human factor.
Thanks for that. Lucanio, from your side?
I think from a technical perspective, we still see ransomware remains a major threat for businesses. As we know, if a business or companies are taken offline for extended periods of time, this will disrupt any forms of digital transformation. And I think with the rapid move to cloud deployments or cloud migrations or people moving to the cloud, there's a lot of misconfigurations, maybe due to the urgency of it being done or the lack of skills that we're seeing in the environment, and these will be exploited by attackers. So this makes cloud security a critical focus area for us at Vodacom Business. And we see a high increase in supply chain attacks, which means that the infiltrating our third party or your third party or company's third party contractors in order to try and access or find vulnerabilities in other companies. And obviously with the hybrid work, this has permanently blurred the boundaries between personal and professional networks. And I think this is a key challenge that we see companies and our customers are facing at the moment.
Yeah, and I think the list of threats continue to grow. But I think more pertinent now is the whole advent of AI and the impact that has. So we say that AI is being used by both the attackers and the defenders. So give us some sense of how that's playing out in the market at the moment.
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think Anna did mention it a bit earlier on. is that you're finding now attackers are no longer using the obvious methods where you'll see the spelling mistakes. The phishing campaigns are very sophisticated and very targeted. We see a lot of deep fakes, automated reconnaissance. So cyber criminals are using these to improve their attacking methods. And but what you'll find as well is that defenders are also using AI and global intelligence to ensure continuous protection against emerging threats. And at Vodacom Business, we've integrated AI-driven detection and response into our managed security services, which means that we have AI and automation that have reduced our mean time of detection and response from hours to minutes to even seconds. So this helps us with the rapid mitigation of the threats.
I guess it's a bit of a cat and mouse game, you know, as to see who is yes. better at using the technology, whether it's AI or whatever, to either attack or to defend the organization. And I think that story will continue.
And I think Anna, you mentioned just to close it off there.
Sure.
So just to close it off there. So the nice thing about AI is that with every new attack or different attack, the AI is learning, right? So and this helps us to proactively protect our customers from similar attacks happening locally from what the we are seeing globally as well.
Now, thanks for that, Lucanio. So, Anna, you mentioned that the majority of breaches involve human mistakes. How do organizations address this human element effectively?
Yeah, and if you think about humans, we now, you know, as Lucanio mentioned, we are now embracing AI as well on the defense side, but so do we humans in our daily operations. So now you have humans working in collaboration with their AI agents or their AI assistants. So actually what we're having now is this hybrid workforce that we need to protect, not just the human behavior, but the AI agents' behaviors as well, which, by the way, can be just as much manipulated and social engineered. So we have to build a culture of, let's call it, cybersecurity workforce risk management, not just the human risk anymore, but the combined AI plus the human. And that becomes very interesting because, yes, you know, a lot of people say that humans are the weakest link. I disagree with that. I think if we have a well-trained, a well-oiled security culture, your humans become extensions of your security program. They can be even... obviously, they don't have the same capacity as like an AI tool in terms of volume and pattern recognition, but we have something that the AI does have not, which is judgment and cognitive flexibility. So the combination of the humans with the right tools can be very powerful in defending. But it requires prioritization. It requires a culture or part of the DNA. It needs to be, hey, you're all part of this. This is not just something that the IT guys, like Lucanio said, it's not just the guy that sits in the corner by himself or herself with the AI is meant to fix. It's something that we all have to take responsibility for. And we all need to be trained or, raised to a certain level of awareness. Not, we don't need to understand the details, but we need to, like the same when we learn how to drive a car, we don't need to know how the engine works, but we need to know certain rules on how to navigate these spaces safely. And that's what I often call that the zero trust mindset or digital mindfulness that we need to foster in our organizations to help people equip themselves to make those right decisions.
I've always thought about the culture issue as being so pertinent in organizations when it comes to that, especially if you think about new people coming into the organization. And if the culture of the organization is one where cybersecurity is part and parcel of the way we do our jobs every day, it's a lot easier for the new recruits to be inculcated into that culture as one organization that doesn't have that level of culture. So bringing in new people is always going to be challenging, and it's a lot to do with what the culture of the organization is like.
And that culture starts at the top, right? People will look at what their leaders are doing. So it's really important as leaders. And in fact, I find it quite interesting that You know, we are so tribal, we even pick up on the emotional state of our leaders. So we just made to copy what our leaders are doing. So we have to be, as leaders, we have to be cognizant of that and then set the right examples and prioritize, you know, that level of security culture in our cultural DNA.
Yeah. No, thanks. Lucania, you want to add to that as well?
I think... And I mentioned about zero trust there. She spoke very well about the human element, but it's also we need to ensure that as organizations we do have some level of zero trust architectures and continuous monitoring. So this means that we don't automatically trust a user, whether they're inside or outside the perimeter. So we focus on verifying identities, ensuring correct access and monitoring for anomalies such as login times from different locations. And this goes throughout, right? Whether it's internal users or third-party access, it has to receive the same scrutiny. We also have devices like IoT devices, right? That are connecting and network connections that are connecting to our customers' environments. So we need to ensure that these are given least privilege and we always verify. So every vector for access must be considered as protected.
Yeah, there's this phrase that is being bandied about called security by design. So what does that actually mean? And especially for a business that's particularly embarking on a digital transformation program.
So I think for me, as Anna mentioned earlier on, it starts with the right mindset, right? Viewing every system, process and interaction through a risk lens, right? It means embedding security throughout the business early, because what you'll find is, like Anna mentioned, I'll use her analogy, right? You don't want to build a car and then think about the brakes later on, because this will be more costly at the end. So rather avoid those costly fixes later in the beginning. And we also focus on governance and safeguarding cannot be an afterthought. It has to be thought of upfront. So there's different options. Like I mentioned, just a few. So integrating controls and compliance frameworks early in cloud journey, enforcing identity and access management, like I mentioned before, encryption and governance, fostering collaboration. This is a key one, I think, between IT, business, security teams, so that security thinking is everyone's responsibility. And I think we've built this out with our managed security services, and that's how we approach this when we are working with our customers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, back to the culture issue, it's about establishing that culture of collaboration between the different teams, because we often find teams tend to work in silos. And, you know, it almost becomes an afterthought about, oh, you didn't think about this. What about this? Let's bring the security guys in at a later stage, and they should be there from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's also seeing security more as a business enabler and not just the compliance guys, right? So that's really important that we also as security professionals that we understand that function. Like we have to... understand the business risks. We need to make sure that, for example, coming back to the retail industry, that when availability is the most important thing for the business to continue, that we don't just waive the compliance thing and say, well, we have to like spend all of this and put all the confidentiality steps in, even though that's important as well, obviously, but we need to like make sure that we support the business and that we provide the relevant and sort of risk-based solutions and approaches to not hinder innovation, but to enable it, right? And that is different according to each organization, right? Yes, compliance and regulation is absolutely important, but sometimes you can't just do that tick box exercise. It needs to be risk-based. It needs to be modeled according to what the business objectives are, the risk appetite of the executives, and then making sure, as you know, Lucania said, that we're building the fastest car together.
Yeah, I guess it's all about striking a balance between the different requirements in an organization. So on the one hand, you know, you want speed and agility. On the other hand, you want to make sure you've got good compliance, good governance, good security, and it's about striking that balance within the organization. And I guess it calls for mature leadership at the end of the day.
Yeah, and a level of understanding as well and appreciation, right?
Mm. I think let's move on to some of the examples. Can you share some examples of tangible business value that organizations are seeing from using an improved security posture?
Yeah, I think improved security postures delivers, I think, clear business values. So clients benefit from lower cyber insurance costs, stronger business continuity, and reduced operational risk. So, for example, stopping a customer's a ransomware attack or before an encryption can prevent major production losses. We had a major corporate organization that we did assist us with, which from our estimations would have saved them millions of rands, but because of NDAs, we can't mention customers. But again, beyond risk reduction, robust security builds trust, right? Attracting partners, investors, and customers, like I mentioned before, which becomes a competitive advantage in the digital economy.
No, thanks for that. I wanted to talk, and you've mentioned this before, about third-party risk. So how should organizations think about third-party risk and particularly that and supply chain security?
I think we've seen some of the biggest corporates in globally that have been compromised through third parties. So I think and it's one of the fastest growing threat vectors that we are seeing. So I think what's important again when I did the touch about zero trust is that verifying user identities for every third party. We don't just give blanket access to third parties because they trusted or they've been working with the company for over 20 years. Ensuring correct access rights with the least privilege principles. Monitoring for anomalies, again, like I mentioned. So if certain third party can only log in on a Saturday, they shouldn't be logging on Sunday. Why are they logging on Sunday? So those anomalies need to be monitored and detected. Implement strict access controls for every device within the network. And then third-party access must be continuously scrutinized, because vendors can introduce vulnerability. So again, it boils down to zero trust. Always verify the entity that's trying to log into your systems, and on a continuous basis.
Okay. And now your thoughts on third parties?
Yeah, I know that because of the interdependency between all of us, and actually, you know, not just within the tech industry, just in general, right? It's quite a complex challenge to solve. I know a lot of the larger organizations grapple with that, and how do you assess your third parties? You know, I believe again, from a human factor point of view, it's very important to educate your users about that exact zero trust mindset as well, that yes, you have the tools in place, but also make sure when the call comes from your trusted supplier that their banking details changed, know that there's that process that I follow, that unfortunately, even though I know you in person, I can't unfortunately trust you because you might be a deep fake, right? So yeah, zero trust, definitely from a tech point of view, as well as a human mindset point of view. And then where you can, you know, also expanding your training and your security education to your third parties. So I know that in certain cases, the companies that I deal with, they then take it upon themselves to make sure that their third parties understand their policies and also get educated just as much as their own mm-hmm. users.
Yeah, I guess just from my own experience in the industry, you know, I've seen, you know, third parties can rank from a small little SME all the way to, you know, big tier one corporates. And I guess, you know, there needs to be almost a program that has to be executed as part of your broader governance and controls to deal with each of these different categories in that. And they can't all comply 100% in the same way. So understanding that also becomes important.
Yep.
Okay, so we say as threats evolve daily, how do organizations stay ahead rather than just react? You know, the whole idea is to get become a lot more proactive in our approach.
I think we did touch on this before, but at Vodacom Business, what we try and do is that we try and combine threat intelligence, automation, and human expertise in partnerships with AI. So this means that this isn't a static system. It's continuously learning, and it's continuously adapting and improving. So we commit to updating our detection models, refining response playbooks, and integrating with other global heavy hitters in the industry, and then global intelligence sharing. So being connected to global threat intelligence networks, I think is critical. Not just to work in silos. So we receive intelligence from incidents worldwide, and then obviously data governance. Effective data governance is essential for safe analytics and protecting sensitive information throughout the organization.
So I guess you're saying you need to take a multi-pronged approach, and you need to be enhancing and improving on that all the time.
100% agreed. And just one more on that is that incident response management is very key. We emphasize on regular testing of incident response to ensure that they're effective and actionable in real scenarios, not just theoretical documents. So this is key to building resilience.
So moving on, I'm saying, what are the critical priorities for business leaders when it comes to cybersecurity strategy?
I think from a technical priorities, I would say that integrate security again. I think I don't want to sound like we're hopping on this over and over, but it's key to integrate security from day one. Don't treat security as something to add later. Build it into the system, the processes, and the digital initiatives from the beginning. Invest in adaptive intelligence. Ensure effective data governance. Again, like I mentioned before, test incidents regularly, and then embrace the global intelligence sharing. Connect to other threat intelligence networks to benefit from the worldwide insights and proactive protection.
Yeah, and I guess you'd share from the non-technical side or the cultural side as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, the first thing is to have a security strategy. You know, that's something actually at a national level we should pay attention to, because South Africa doesn't have a national cybersecurity strategy. So that's the first thing we need to do, is to have one. And it shows that executive sponsorship, right, is to actually have a strategy and then added to the list of your board agenda and your leadership strategy and resilience. And then, yeah, I 100% agree with what Lucanio said. So making sure you don't work in silos, so collaboration across different departments, absolutely key. Yes, we mentioned the culture and the education awareness side, but also nowadays including, well, how do we expand that to the AI factors, right? Like, how do we make sure that the interaction between the humans and the AI agents or AI assistants is done safely, not forgetting your third parties, and I guess using a risk-based approach. So not everything can be 100% protected. That's not, you know, risk does not equal harm necessarily. It just means being aware of it and then managing it accordingly.
Yeah. So, Lucanio, how does Vodacom Business help clients navigate the complexity of cybersecurity and compliance to data privacy type regulations?
I think for Vodacom Business, cybersecurity data privacy and compliance are foundational to every digital transformation initiative. These areas are no longer just peripheral. They central to every EXCO agenda, every EXCO meeting. Like I mentioned before, it's no longer just an IT problem. So we've built comprehensive security practice based on international standards and frameworks like UNIS and the ISOs. And it's no longer just a traditional desktop protection to embrace. And I think for us, we try and push for these frameworks like I mentioned before, including your zero trust frameworks, self-healing networks, and deep observability. Excuse me for the tongue twister for myself. So we help clients navigate the complexities of data sovereignty and cloud risk. So we try and take our customers and our clients on a journey to mature their security practice. So our approach integrates security in every layer of the solution, from infrastructure to application, so that the business can innovate confidently and securely.
Well, thanks for that. I think if we start looking at the bigger picture, and particularly if we're talking about digital transformation, how does cybersecurity enable digital transformation rather than constrain it? Because that's always the concern.
Yeah, I think this is like a nice wrap up of everything that we've touched on, right? Like, security shouldn't be seen as the department of no or compliance. We really should be part of, the enabling the business, making things possible, building the brakes so that the race can be won. Also understanding that trust really is something, or trust cues is something that consumers, customers, partners are looking for nowadays. You know, it really becomes part of your decision making is, can I trust this company? Can I trust this entity to protect my information, protect me as a consumer? That's really, I think, wraps it up. Maybe one last thing is that, when we talk about digitization and the dependency that we all have on these technical tools or digital tools, it cannot not be part of your organizational risk management strategy, right? We know what happens when the internet goes down; nothing operates anymore. So it becomes part and parcel of it's like part of your tires. If you use the the car analogy again, like, we have to make sure that the car can actually ride.
Yeah. Lucanio, from your side?
From our side, so the message, like my colleague Anna said, threats are evolving on a daily basis. So our defenses must evolve as well, but with the right approach. So security enables faster, safer digital transformation. It's about building resilience, because it's not about how quickly you can do digital transformation. It's about how safely you can. So don't wait for a breach to make a security a priority. So by then it might be too late. The damage to reputation, finance, and customers' trust is already gone. So we keep on asking our customers, always try and do your incident response testing and your vulnerability assessment. So work with Vodacom Business, because we work alongside our customers to build their security strategies that protect and enable digital transformation journeys.
So as a final closing question to both of you, what's your key message for South African business leaders thinking about cybersecurity and digital transformation?
Yeah, so I come back to trust. You know, trust is really at the heart of everything, particularly in a world nowadays where a lot of these sort of values are being thrown over. We have to come back to values-based principles and trust, and see digital security or resilience as part of that foundation that enables that trust.
Lucanio, your final message?
security becomes an enabler when it's strategic rather than reactive. Instead of asking, how do we protect what we have, organizations should ask, how does security enable us to do things we couldn't do before? So that's when business stops seeing security as a cost center and starts seeing it as a strategic asset. And I think that creates a competitive advantage in the digital economy as well. Mm.
To both of you, thank you very much for your time. I think it's been an insightful and interesting conversation. I think as a final parting message, it is very possible to allow your cybersecurity capability to become a strategic enabler rather than a cost constraint on your organization. And I think we've spoken a lot about the capabilities and the processes you need to put into place to enable that. So very much possible to do. But thank you to both of you again for your messages today. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you again.
Thank you.